It's March, and you know what that means. Well, besides March Madness and conference championships, it's St. Patrick's Day month. It's your lucky day. Why? Well, if you are a St. Paddy's Day fan, Built Bar has you covered. In white chocolate shamrocks, that is. Do you get in that drive-through line every March for that shamrock shake? Well, Built Bar has an even tastier and more healthy shamrock experience. It has the perfect 10 in terms of vanilla and sweet peppermint. It's drenched in white chocolate and dusted with grasshopper cookie pieces. So this year, skip the shamrock shake and grab the shamrock Built Bar. Go to built.com and use code R5INSIDER for 10% off your order. Again, R5INSIDER for 10% off. And enjoy your Built Bar Shamrock experience.
The chips come out on top as the Spartans shine and Team 46 takes number 26 as they go lights out in a massive way on their road to a second NCAA.
Championship's crazy. That was this past weekend in the NCAA, and we have lots of highlights for you. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the College Salute Conference Championship Edition. That's Kim, known as the Region 5 Insider on ESPN. I'll address that later. And, of course, I am Jason. Another 10 on vault for an alum. If you won Session 1, you were third or fourth best team in the conference. Region 5 alums took home many conference awards. Karis, massively excited. And Maryland is now my favorite team. More on that in a minute. But before we give our salute to conference championships, we have to thank our podcast sponsor, TumbleTrek.
TumbleTrek, more reps, less stress, twist, turn, tumble, longer and stronger with TumbleTrek. Train smart. Thank you to TumbleTrek for your continued support of the Region 5 Insider and the College Salute podcast.
Well, so this week, we are kind of rearranging our podcast. We do have a guest. We mentioned that we're going to have a guest this week, and of course, she has joined us. But before we bring her in, a little audio clip from Big Ten Championships.
Eyes on this dismount. She is one of two in this lineup to do it. It's a double back. She went 9.975. Dean, they came to play.
Well, that, of course, is the excitement and the audio of Olivia Karis, former Michigan Wolverine great and the commentator for the Big Ten Network. And Liv, we have you on today because, of course, we have to. Big Tens, you're right there from training through the both sessions of competition. So you got it all behind the scenes, and we are excited to have you back on for a discussion on the Big Ten Championship. So Liv, welcome back to the Region 5 Insider College Salute.
Thank you. Always happy to be here to be with my people. So thanks for having me.
Well, before we start talking about the ins and outs to Big Tens, why don't you just give us a general recap from your perspective? Obviously, being there, watching the training, watching the meet, commentating on the meet, just from your perspective, what Big Tens was like.
Yeah, so obviously watching practice is such a benefit and a treat because the general public doesn't have that luxury. I saw more stuck landings, stuck vaults, than I've ever seen in my life in that practice day. It was truly a clinic on how to do college gymnastics. The difficulty this year was off the charts. Almost every team, I think, upgraded to some capacity. One gymnast upgraded or adding an e-pass here or there or whatnot. And so the level of gymnastics, I would say, this season was significantly higher in the Big Ten. That was a huge takeaway. The second one was that judging was wonky, as it always is. The beam judges decided they were going to be in club, and the floor judges decided that they were going to skyrocket everything. But if they were consistent, to give them the benefit of the doubt, they were consistent. People who deserved perfect tens on beam were rewarded with the beam title, and people who deserved to win floor, in my opinion, even with the inflation, were rewarded the floor title. So ultimately it worked out. Regardless of how we got there, it worked out. So that was definitely a takeaway. And the third, I would say, is specifically in the evening session, vaults were huge. Obviously, stuck landings is the all-important ending to the vault, but Michigan State was launching some vaults. I saw Ohio State launch some vaults. I saw Jenna Levesque do a full-on layout off, which was an upgrade. I know she did it the week before, but on Big Ten Network, that was an upgrade. Like, there were just big vaults, and that was exciting. I don't think that gets enough love in the Big Ten, that these vaults are getting bigger and the drills that they're doing are working. So those are kind of my three big takeaways, were bigger vaults, more difficulty, and wonky judging, but it ended up working out the way it should have.
Well, it's funny because I didn't watch session one before I watched session two. So I watched session two and I thought Ohio State looked good. I thought they looked really, really good. And then come to find out, Iowa jumped them. And then when I watched Iowa, I was actually impressed. I was impressed with how Iowa did. But, you know, I don't know. Like, your thoughts on maybe the comparison to two. I mean, I know that, you know, you do a great job of you know, highlighting the best, but also, you know, sometimes pinpointing some of the things that are the negatives to that, to things. But comparing those two teams, being one in the first session, one in the second, and Iowa jumping up and finishing third.
Yeah, I thought Iowa looked fantastic, specifically on floor. They were so crisp. Obviously, we've seen Lauren Guerin's floor routine, and it was to die for, but their whole lineup was like that, really. I think they had one or two little, like, blips here or there, but when they stuck, that was a controlled lunge, and their leaps were beautiful. The extension was far past 180 degrees. So I think Iowa really set a standard on floor exercise. However, you know, rotations are weird, right? Like, starting on bars for Iowa and ending on vault, I think was good for them because they have some big stuff happening on floor. And then their vaults were big as well. And obviously it shouldn't come down to rotations and where everyone ends up, but let's be honest, it does. And Ohio State started on their strongest event. And that sucks because ultimately those routines could have had a little bit of a score bump if they were later on in the meet. And that, I disagree with that entirely, but that's the way it works. Ending on beam is never easy. I know they've played around with their beam lineup here and there, but their bar lineup was gorgeous. They definitely minimized a lot of deductions on vault, but ultimately, Iowa, in my opinion, just looked a little more confident and crisper across the board. But I think Ohio State truly was deserving of that evening session spot. They brought the energy. They have hard gymnastics. So it was nice to see both of those teams do really well and still have more in the tank to give, which was great.
Well, yeah, I mean, Iowa finished third last year, too. So it wasn't like they're, you know, new to being, you know, one of the top teams in the conference. But I don't know. I just was watching it. And you mentioned, like, Ohio State on floor. I felt bad for Claire Gagliardi. You know, we all love watching Claire. She went at 9-9. And I thought her performance was, you know, just as good as some of the other routines that were later on in the lineup that maybe went 9-9-2-5. Like Q Henderson, for instance.
Right.
Jaquavia, this was not her best routine of the year. And she went 9-9-2-5. She had, you know, a step on both landings, a hop forward on her last double back. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Claire hopped on anything. And so, you know, it being first up, that's kind of one of those things where you say the order of which you go sometimes makes a difference, and that's sad.
It is, and I think there's been a lot of conversation about the whole two-pass shindig, and if you're doing an e-pass as one of your two-pass versus something else. And, you know, I think after this season, there's going to have to be a discussion on what constitutes a superior two-pass. You know, Iowa is doing full ins and then front through double tucks. I mean, that is just like jam-packed. And some teams aren't doing that. So I think it comes down to if you scrape the surface of the requirements or if you go above and beyond and pack it all in the two, what ends up happening? So I don't know. I mean, maybe that had something to do with it. Obviously, being earlier in the meet had something to do with it, but that routine will always be a fan favorite across the board. And I think she performed the heck out of it. There was so much energy in that building for Ohio State, and I could see it in her as she was going, which was exciting.
I don't know if I can live in a world where Claire Gagliardi is not doing a floor routine. Next year is going to be very difficult for me emotionally. I might need to seek therapy.
Well, she certainly performs that routine and loves. And I think it was exciting to see her, you know, in her last home performance, which, speaking of home, that arena looks awesome. I mean, we've never been there. It's new, so I've never been there. It's awesome.
It's beautiful. I believe it only seats about 3,700 maybe. So it doesn't seat as many as the larger arenas, but the echo and the way voices carry and audio goes in the building is really great. I also saw a ton of people standing. So I know they offer standing rooms. So I think ultimately it was the right arena for this championship. It has a very championship feel to it. The floor looked fantastic. The podium was awesome. Like, it just worked. It was just the right place for this all to happen, for sure.
On TV, the colors complemented each other. Like, the bright red floor and everything else was dark. It looked really good.
I was very excited to walk in there on the first day and see it all and then see it lively with everyone. It was great.
Yeah, usually you have to give the SEC the props when it comes to their championship and, you know, what they do with all the SEC signs and all that. You know, I just always think that that just looks big and glorious, as, you know, always. But this one, I have to say, I think took the top spot this year, because I thought it just looked like a really cool venue, but also the loudness of it. And I know you say that it was really loud. You've never heard it this loud. You could kind of feel that on TV, which is hard because they don't obviously always take the arena audio. They take the audio from which, you know, they're trying to, you know, either your vocal audio or the audio of the floor music. But just the fact that you could even hear that over that, I could just imagine how loud that was in there.
Yeah, it was awesome in there. I would say the hardest part for me was, you know, everything can't be live on TV. So when you have Sierra Brooks vaulting and sticking it, and then you have someone else on bars sticking it, and like, you can't watch it all at once. So the hardest part for me, I would say, was having to pretend I didn't see Sierra stick her vault and bring that same excitement when we replayed it on the network, because to the people watching at home, they didn't see what I saw live. They're seeing it for the first time there. And so I've never experienced that before, because we've always been in a studio, and in a studio you can kind of like block out the cameras, but in that place you can't block anything out. So that was definitely tricky, but the excitement that I felt and that I know the girls felt was 100% legit. Like, every routine, no matter what the team, whoever landed, the place erupted. It was like there was no home court advantage. And obviously Ohio State, when they landed things, was a little louder, but their fans were very complimentary of good gymnastics, and I respected that a lot.
Well, I don't think your excitement was lost at any point in time. If you had already seen the vault or what have you, you would never know that, because the excitement was always there.
Voice is kind of gone still, so it was crazy.
Well, you've already mentioned Sierra Brooks and her 10-0 on vault. We mentioned in the opening that was the alum that did have the 10-0 on vault this weekend. This is her second 10, if I'm not mistaken, this season, correct, on vault?
Yep.
You know, just to be able to go out there and do that. And Michigan, I mean, they had good vaults, but they weren't as crisp as they have been, although better than they have been in the last few weeks, because I know like a couple weeks ago they sat three vaults down. But you know, just talk a little bit about that vault and what that vault to you, I mean, both times you saw it apparently, kind of just the excitement of that vault from where it was inside the vault lineup for Michigan.
Yeah, so I, you know, Raina went first, and I think she took a little step backward, and then Natalie goes and sticks it. So, you know, Natalie is like a freaking, you can just drop her off a building and she can stick it. And then Abby High School goes and sticks it. And so they say sticks are contagious, and they're right. And I just knew Sierra wanted it. You know, when she stuck that vault at Nebraska and got a 10, it was a part of that not so great lineup. But I think it got a little overshadowed because of that. You know, when the three 10s happened, it was like so exciting in a row. And, you know, and then this happened where they go like 48-2 or something, maybe even lower, and Sierra gets a 10. And so I think for this moment, for her to get a 10 in the excitement and be a part of like the exclamation point, as opposed to the one good thing, was really special. That vault was to die for, gorgeous. She just knows how to stand upright with her chest. She's cleaned up the positioning in the air. And then I believe after her, Naomi goes and sticks it too. So it was just so exciting for her to be a part of the triumph as opposed to, you know, a needle in a haystack kind of thing. I don't know that for sure. I'm speculating, but and winning the Big Ten Gymnast of the Year, that young woman deserves it. I mean, that her season has been off the charts good. There's just no other way to describe how successful she's been, how good she's been. And I'm glad that shone through to the conference for sure.
Well, and their entire vault lineup was just huge in that moment. And, you know, from the beginning to the end, it was either, you know, great landings, good landings, stuck landings. It was just, I was just amazed just how good their vault lineup was. Just as you said, sticks are contagious. And it was just great. I thought it was spectacular. My favorite part, though, is at the beginning, I don't know if you noticed, but at the beginning of Reyna's vault, she does this little dance move before she runs down the runway. I was like, that is the funniest thing.
I love it. I didn't notice that, but she was great. I mean, I know she only did one event, and she's really training Floor and Beam to get back in there, but she is a very talented young woman, so I love seeing her contribute and obviously continue working on it too.
Yeah. She's a freshman though, right? So she has
sophomore.
Okay. But yeah. Still, more years to go for sure.
Totally.
Well, you talk about how much Sierra means to the team and what she does each and every meet, you know, kind of the rock of the team all around all the time, you know, for the most part. I think a couple meets she didn't, but just out there being very consistent, pretty much routine in, routine out each and every meet. But the job that J.C. Vore has done this season for Michigan. Now, J.C. did have a fall on beam this at Big Tens, unfortunate. However, she did go 9-9 on bars as the anchor in their last event. But what can you say about J.C.? Because the last time we talked to you, obviously it was the beginning of the season. I don't know if she had really come out competing as much yet. I think she was still exhibition, but maybe not. But now being in bars, in beam, on this lineup, Michigan's lineup, the national championship team, and anchoring an event, the job that JC has done as a freshman this year.
Oh yeah. I talked to her mom after the meet actually, and told her that your daughter will get more from this experience falling and then winning it at the end for them than hitting both routines. And I think as a freshman, you know, you just don't understand that kind of excitement. You know, you go to Nasia Cup or JO Nationals, and there is a lot of noise and screaming and excitement, but nothing quite compares to a Big Ten championship. And I thought she handled it very well. Obviously the fall was unfortunate, but they didn't count it. So in my opinion, it's a wash, you know, it's gone, whatnot. And then for Natalie to fall on bars and JC to have to go up there and hit, there was no questions asked. She handled the pressure beautifully. Her routine was lovely. I just think she has grown to recognize the importance of hitting when it matters. And it seemed to me by her, you know, for facial expressions and everything, that she really put beam behind her. And that's something you can't necessarily teach someone. That's all the gymnast's training to do that. And it was very impressive. And I think she absolutely killed it. Very excited to see how she progresses. I know she has a 1.5 on vault and a very clean and pretty floor routine. And so I know in the coming year, she's going to be crucial for them. But for this year to have that kind of magnitude on you on the last event for the Big Ten championship, that is such a win in the J.C. Vore column.
Well, I think with just the fact that Michigan loses several 1.5s on vault, that could be J.C.'s key next year into like standing out even more as she brings the 1.5, because her 1.5 on vault is very good. It's very good. I mean, she's competed several years in clubs. She did it at nationals in 2019 in JOs. But you know, it just, I'm excited to see her out there because, you know, this wasn't the first place she was going, you know, obviously, you know, decommitted to a school and then committed to Michigan. And it's just awesome to, you know, see her just excel and having a one good time, but also being a contributor to the Michigan lineup, not just out there competing. you know, oh yeah, your score, raise your hand, great, you get a score out there, and then you're dropped. No, her scores are counting, and that's what's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. It was very exciting for her. I'm excited for her future. I think she's a very bright one at Michigan.
She's the total package, though. Like, for me, I, other than amazing gymnastics, I always tell Jason she's like the next Abby Brenner in terms of like cheering, being a good teammate, her excitement. When I went to the Michigan Auburn meet, like, I just couldn't, like, Abby Brenner, like, that stadium, like, Michigan loves Abby Brenner, and her excitement is amazing. So I feel like JC is gonna move into that, you know, next hype teammate, you know, the hypest of the hype. So not only does JC have amazing gymnastics, though, she is like the teammate hype girl that's gonna, you know, take the spot for Abby's hypeness.
And I think this is also a good time to put this in. I am a avid fan of Gymcastic. I love both Spencer and Jess. I think they do a great job. I also am one of their gym nerds, so I get to listen to that extra podcast. On their podcast this past week, Jess complained about this competition. Not this one in general, just this weekend. How championship weekend, what does it really mean? It doesn't help you unless you're on the bubble. It really doesn't do anything. I think she's totally wrong, and I think if she was involved in the process or part of this competition or like had an opportunity or an experience to be in a championship like this, she would have a different mindset. I loved Big Tens. Big Tens was one of my favorite meets. Two meets a year. Windy City invite because it was our first big meet, and it was basically everyone in the Big Ten, so it was Big Ten in January, and then this championship meet. And I don't think you can even – I mean, I've been to Nationals, but I don't think you can even compare – to Big Ten championships. It's awesome. And I know the girls is always bigger than the guys meet, but it's still a fun, fun competition.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, briefly to mention some of the other conferences too, I mean, it's big, it's exciting. And now that they have this regular season win-loss addition to it, it's almost redemption for some teams when they're like, we didn't win the regular season and now we want to win the championship. Or we won the regular season, there's more to defend. And I like that. I think it adds to the excitement of the sport, putting everyone in a conference together. And on top of that, like specifically this year for the Big Ten, it was just such a breakout year that having them all on the same equipment, same judges, same podium, I think was very unique. We saw, obviously, some people didn't hit the way they wanted. We saw some uncharacteristic mistakes. We saw little things like that. But to have everyone in this breakout conference at the same place, I think was very special. And so I, as an athlete, we loved Big Tens. I mean, it was so much fun. And our whole thing was keep that energy going into regionals and then, of course, nationals. But Big Tens was the kickoff of your quest for the national championship. It just gives you that. It's almost like a hint of what Fort Worth is like. Because regionals isn't, let's be clear. Regionals is much more traditional in, you know, it's not on a podium. It's a lot more pressure. And so at the end of the day, championships for your conference to me is like a taste, and it makes you just want to make it to Fort Worth more.
Yeah, I'll be interested to know if Washington uses the step stools, the steps to a podium. That's what I called them last year at Utah last year when they had the little riser, the step
right.
stool riser. Interested to see if that's the Pac-12's regional podium, little step stools. We'll have to see. But I just, you know, it's something where, you know, there are teams that aren't going to move on. They're not moving on. I don't believe Rutgers is going to regionals. The selection show is actually today as we're recording. But some of those teams may not be moving on, or athletes won't be moving on more than maybe regional. So this is a big championship meet. So I feel like this is everything for a lot of schools. And it's just, it's fun. Plus it's fun to win a conference title. I mean, I never did. You guys did. I never did. You guys meaning Olivia. Kim and I have never won a conference title. But, but you know, it's just fun to be there and try. Our best finish when I was there was third. Michigan has obviously won since then on the men's side. But it's just fun. It's just an exciting time, and it's cool. And I wish they was going men and women again like we had it when I was there. 4 years of my career, all co-ed. And I think it's better that way. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's move on to a few more routines here. And Gabby Wilson went 9.925 on floor. We have talked about her floor routine all year long. What I want to talk about is balance beam. This balance beam routine, and we heard the audio already from you at the beginning, this was probably one of the best balance beam routines I have ever seen Gabby do. And yes, it was awesome. Stuck double tuck. I'm sorry, I'm already giving it out. She gets our stuck landing for the for our best five of the, because it was just the best stick I've ever seen from a double tuck off balance beam.
Yeah, so I'm in a group chat with a lot of retired gymnast, Scott Bregman being one of them, and he called it highway robbery, and I couldn't agree more. It was, that was trash scoring. I truly want to know where on earth you take a 10th and a half in that routine, because Gabby has beautiful flexibility. The only thing I would ever question are the two split leap jumps, and they were flawless. Watching them from the side where the judges would see, tight knees, perfect split, height is off the charts. The back handspring layout step out, the layout step out goes to the moon. The full turn lands on high toe, and then she does a double tuck and sticks it. I'm just like, I don't know what else an athlete has to do to get, that was ridiculous to me. I was extremely disappointed in that scoring. I know a lot of people were. It's like that routine truly should have either had a share of the Big Ten beam title or at least second on the podium. I mean, seriously. But, you know, we can't control judging. We can't control any of that. As we said, the beam judging was a little low across the board. But she's another athlete. And I know she didn't do bar. She's nursing some shoulder pain. But she's another athlete that has just blossomed. And she was so good her freshman year. She was a little more of a nervous competitor. She was fantastic last year. And this year, I feel like she's just all gas, no brakes. And it's showing up in her scores, showing up in her technique, her execution. She is one that doesn't get enough hype. And I try my best to give her as much as possible because she just deserves it. But that beam routine was total highway robbery. Seriously, I mean, I don't know where on earth you take a 10th and a half in that routine. It was trash.
I was like, how? I mean, it was just so good. And Gabby is good on balance beam, but she tends to have a little wobble here, a little, you know, error there. I wish you'd bring the side summy back or a front tuck back, but you know why do it? Because, you know, take a chance of a wobble. But the round off double back was probably the best single piece of gymnastics I think I've seen her do, at least in a while. Just even on top of floor, it was just so nice.
Yeah, it was great. She has just been so good, and you know, her floor routine wasn't the most her perfect one. And I know she's probably bummed about that, but I talked to Abby Brenner and Sierra on the practice day, and they said that they love playing underdog. They love not being number one in the nation because they love to have someone to chase. The hardest thing about winning a national championship is doing it again and upholding that number one ranking. And I think for these young women, they just want, they love the chase. They love, we can be better. We can do better. There's someone to chase. And I think that Gabby now, with not getting that floor title, I know she wanted it, has something to chase. You know, this is where you go after it hardcore and you get it at nationals. This is where you do your absolute best and you improve even more than you would have had you been on the top. And so, although I wish she was given more on that beam routine, at least, I think this is a good opportunity for her to come back with a vengeance and get what she needs on an even bigger stage.
Well, Michigan been on the top in the Big Ten for many years. Iowa recently, in the last few years, been one of the top teams in the Big Ten. But we cannot say that about the Michigan State Spartans. However, in 2022, as Kim has many times on our podcast let people know, they are pretty good this year. They're just a little second in the Big Ten. They looked great. And I was worried because you never know. A couple times this year, I'm like big fives. I was like, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to hold the pressure? Are they going to be able to handle it in this bigger stage? You know, they kind of bounced everywhere on bars in that meet, but they were able to handle themselves on beam and floor and still do well, finish second to Michigan. Finishing second to Michigan again in this Big Ten championship. They just looked great.
They are so good. Seriously, so good. Like, watching them in practice today, they were so good. In the meet, the energy that team brings is insane. Like, Gabby Steven is so good. Like, watching her, I'm like, oh my God, you are so talented. Skyla Schulte literally is like a little ball of fire. She is so talented. Like, the talent that team has and they're using is unbelievably exciting. Their vaults are fantastic. I mean, I don't think they, I think Bailey Garcia stuck hers. The rest of them were little teeny scoots, but that's what I like to call minimize. They minimized as much as they possibly could. Delaney Harkness's bars is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I mean, they really truly have made a name for themselves, and I am 100% rooting for them to get that second spot at regionals and head to the national championship. They deserve it. Mike Rowe deserves it. Whitney and Nicole deserve it. I mean, that whole program, if they don't win some kind of underdog of the year or shatter expectations of the year, I mean, everyone across the country is talking about Michigan State because they're just, it's so impressive what they've done. And I just want their season to keep going because I'm not ready to stop watching them. They're too good.
Name one school in the NCAA that has made the rise as a whole than Michigan State this year. Is there one that's made a significant impact change in their program?
Maybe from, Auburn. Maybe Auburn, but not nearly to the degree of Michigan State.
I would think Michigan State fall. I mean, I above Auburn because Auburn was good. I mean, Auburn. I mean, obviously they had to sit out at regionals because of COVID, but you know they're good. SUNY has added a little more pizzazz and like viewership to Auburn, but I don't think SUNY has added like more to make Auburn a different program than they have been before. Michigan right. State is different. They're different.
They're different.
Hands and down.
Watching Mike Rowe accept the Big Ten Coach of the Year. I got a view of him just so I could see him cry because his emotion is everything. And watching him stand up there, it was truly the most emotional moment of the entire weekend. Watching him stand up there and he turned and he faced the girls and he put the trophy up in front of them and just like held his heart and all the girls stood up and applauded him and the whole arena was on their feet applauding for him. And it was magical. I mean, that man and that coaching staff and those women have changed it all. And this is the beginning of their rise in the NCAA. And he knows it. And seeing him in that moment just credit the girls and the team and everything, it was really cool. It was a very special moment.
Just hearing about it, I want to cry and get emotional because that's the person I am. But God, I probably would have cried like a small child if I would have been in that arena watching him get that award because – as everybody knows, I was never a Michigan State fan, really. Like, I did not like Michigan State, you know. And I am obsessed. Like, to the point that, like...
She buys T-shirts. Or gets T-shirts. That's
it borders on, like, stalking these days. Like, I am obsessed with everything Michigan State. Like, I wear my shirt all the time. I cannot say enough. I just am obsessed. And I've told every single one of those coaches, and I've talked to the girls, I'm obsessed. And they went from, you know, COVID, we haven't seen them in 100 years because they all got COVID and their season ended, to like, hello, second at Big Ten. Like, what in the world?
In the most competitive year of Big Ten, of the Big Ten Conference. You know, this is not just like a year where it's top heavy. I mean, any of those teams could have taken it home.
Yeah.
And that is such an accomplishment for them. I mean, huge accomplishment.
They just have, they blow me away like every meet, and they have recruits coming in next year that is just going to just add to that. It's incredible.
No, it's awesome to see Skyla Schulte, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, much deserved. You know, she's done a great job as a freshman handling that pressure, kind of leading. I mean, the freshman class has really helped energize this program. I know Ashley even had mentioned it in an interview. Just, you know, the difference that they have a much different look and, you know, to themselves and just how they feel about their gymnastics. You know, the dogs got to eat, as they say, and they sure ate at Big Tens, that's for sure. And hopefully they can continue that as they move on to the regional championships, which we'll find out today. This is posted on Wednesday, so it'll be the day after that you'll hear it, but everyone will know where Michigan State's going. But before, I know Liv has to leave because she's, you know, she's busy. She has a busy life. Just a couple things outside of just our Region 5 athletes that I need to mention. Maryland, and I put this in the intro. Maryland is the only team in the Big Ten, maybe in the country, that competes six athletes and not one single Maloney or Shaposh.
Yes, and every time I talk to Brett Nelligan, he makes sure I know that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I know that. They do 6 single bar releases. Their 7th and 8th gymnasts also do single bar releases and double layout dismounts. I mean, that is crazy difficulty. And, you know, I'm a fan of the Shaposh Bale combination. It's all I could do. It's all I could work with. So that's what we did. But that is massive and extremely important for people to recognize that a program that is not in the top 10 are the ones doing that. And Audrey Barber's bar routine is so stunning. Emma Silberman tying the program record 995 on bars. So stunning. I mean, all of it is, it's extremely impressive. And I know that that's Brett's goal, to continue that kind of difficulty and upholding that standard. So I'm excited about that.
No, Audrey Barber is outstanding. I mean, she's so good. She is like the most underrated athlete in the Big Ten. And because we don't have Region 5 alums at Maryland currently competing, actually currently, I don't think we have any there at the moment. We don't really get to, we don't really pay attention as much to them, which is unfortunate. I did hear, because obviously Big Ten, you see it. And I was just absolutely awesome. She is good. Her full in on floor is beautiful.
It's beautiful. Gorgeous.
Her, she has a Ray, if I'm not mistaken, a Ray or a Hindorf. One kid does a Hind, one of the athletes does a Hindorf and one does a Ray in their routine, and the rest are Jaegers. And, or I think there's a Tkachev in there too. But anyway, all major bar releases. But yeah, Barbara is so good. She's so good.
Yeah, amazing. She's so good. She's so talented. And that makes sense that she's the number one all-time scorer in Maryland history. So insane.
Will she be staying around? I don't know if that's, if you know this or not. Does she take a COVID year? Or?
This is her 5th year. So.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe, I think that she's done after this, but okay. She is.
Well, Claire Kaji stays 6 years, so why can't Aubrey? So.
Right.
But another bar group, two I want to mention on bars is Sierra Colombo and Kenzie Davis from Nebraska. Both of them, Higgins Pike Jaeger. For Colombo. Beautiful Higgins. Higgins on top of the bar, not this, you know, half turn falling over. Higgins, Jaeger, and then she does a Higgins invert half to her double flyaway. Awesome. I mean, great. I don't know how I missed that because I watched the Nebraska meet that Michigan was at. And then Kenzie Davis, the Maloney uprise, clear hip, Ray, the whole combination.
So
that was really cool too.
Yeah. Kenzie Davis's bars is honestly, I think I said it on the broadcast, is one of the most difficult ones in the NCAA. I mean, it's packed. It's beautiful. Her technique is lovely. And Clara Colombo doing that Higgins into the Jaeger. And she's just so technical and everything, like you said, on top of the bar, like her training is evident. She was trained to do it right. And she does it like that every time. It's baffling to me. I'm like, she does not miss it. So I was very impressed by her, both of them. And I'm hoping that we see them continue to rise. They're both underclassmen, so we have more time with them in the NCAA.
Right. We've seen it already this year with the freshman from Penn State, Isabella Salcido, I think I say her name, her double front. Beautiful double front, great routine, great for a freshman. It's awesome. I don't know if anyone noticed that is Skyla's old floor music. It's a variation of Skyla's old floor music, but it is lots of energy, in that routine. She enjoyed her time on the floor at Big Ten, so I have to say. But beautiful double front. Kim and I have mentioned it before this season as well. But Linda Zavitt, her Sukfold, not the best she's done all year. Still a very good vault and great. But I have to say, mistake one for Liv on the broadcast. I paused the video. It says
grandfather, not grandma.
Yes, flip for grandpa. And I'm like, oh.
I texted her after and told her I'm so sorry I butchered that. There was so much going on. But that was such a lovely testament to her grandfather. It was emotional. You know, you could tell that running back and holding that to her had a very soft spot in her heart. So that was really sweet.
No, I thought it was really cool that she did that. But I just was like, oh, I think that's it, Grandpa. I got to stop it. Make sure. I'm like, I'm going to tell Liv. She was wrong. But of course, you got, as Kim knows too, you guys got like 1,000 screens you're trying to watch and you know, keep all that straight is crazy. But that's just awesome for her. And I know like that means a lot to her. I know you have like the flip for chip with Michigan and just those moments of things that deal with family or deal with, you know, well, he's family to you guys. You know, that's just cool stuff, but I just had to point that out, you know, that the grandpa or grandma. But, and then one last little thing is the side summy full from the Penn State athlete. I forget who it is, but Diana. I love side summies. Go ahead.
Damiana Cox. She does it, and then I believe Amelia Knight does it from Illinois. Both of them were beautiful.
Love side semis.
So lovely. That difficulty on that dismount is like I can't even fathom. And they both do it so well. Props majorly to Damiana. She literally has done 4 beam routines that have counted, maybe even less. And she looked so poised on the balance beam. It was lovely to see her in her senior year really make that lineup and contribute well.
And then the last aspect of gymnastics from the Big Ten that stood out to me, and she stands out all the time, great bar worker, would be Colby Miller. You've already mentioned Colby. She get a 9.95. She is the Big Ten champion on bars. I think a tri champion. I think there were 3 of them, but she is the Big Ten champion. Just talk a little bit about your impressions of Colby, because she has always been fantastic on bars. And, you know, I feel like she just, I don't know, bars she's done, I just feel like there's more that Colby can give than she has. I mean, she's just one of those awesome, talented athletes that we just don't see enough of, I think.
Yeah, I love her. I actually told her on the practice day, can you please get another 9.95, because she's on my fantasy gymnastics team, LOL. And she kind of chuckled and she was like, that's the goal. And obviously does that bar routine. And I saw her in the lobby of the hotel. And I was like, I told you. And she got up and gave me the biggest hug and was like, so sweet. And I told her, I am such a big fan of yours. Like seeing you get that was so heartwarming. And she gave me the biggest hug. Her mom gave me a big hug. So I am a huge Colby Miller fan. I think that she does not get nearly enough hype. I say that all the time. I think I tweeted about it in preseason because I just love her. Her gymnastics is so lovely. And so, yes, that was a highlight for me the entire weekend, was seeing her just kill it at home. And that was one of those routines that Cavelli almost blew up with noise when she stuck it. It was just out unbelievable noise.
My only note for her bar routine was she stuck her dismount like a badass, because she like, on TV, you could see it's like she stuck it, and then she just kind of stood there, just like,
Yep.
And then she saluted. And she's incredible. I have loved watching her bars since she was JO National Bar Champion. Like, she's just amazing.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, it's the only championship that I watch both sessions, and awesome for both. I mean, I just enjoyed watching both sessions completely. Can you just give us a wrap up of your thoughts on Big Tens from a whole, just the aspect comparative to, I know you've mentioned several times on the telecast how this was the best Big Ten championship. I think you say that every year. They just get better every year. But just kind of what this one was like for you at commentating again for what? This is the fourth time, I think, somewhere
third
in there?
Time, yes. Third time, yes. I would say that this Big Ten championship felt like a Big Ten championship. It felt big. Everyone came to play. Everyone was ready. Everyone was excited. Just the love for the sport and the conference. The conference love was off the charts this year. And being a part of it, not on a team, and honestly kind of as a fan, was very fun. And I hope I get to do it more in the future.
Well, they'd be dumb not to. So, Liv, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got a busy schedule ahead of you today. So thank you for joining us. Maybe we can get you on for the NCAA podcast, the recap, where you can just be a fan, literally be a fan of, you know, less gymnastics, because you only got 3 sessions to worry about, not, you know, 50 sessions like the regional meet, which you're about to, you know, deal with. But thank you so much for all you do for the Big Ten, for gymnastics, your excitement on Twitter. I mean, I love following you on Twitter. I think everyone does. But thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate your comments and your thoughts on the Big Ten championship.
Thanks, you guys. Happy to be here as always.
Well, we appreciate having Olivia on, because obviously she brings a lot, and her excitement to just the overall gymnastics from all athletes, not just the Region 5 alums, is always awesome, and we're glad to have her on. Really quick before we move on, I just have a few that we did not mention because I was trying to get to some of the big highlights, although this one is big. Gianna Gerdes on floor for Minnesota. Gianna has, we've talked about her, she has done such an awesome job. She's been in 3 events, almost was in 4. She did exhibition bars, 1 meet, but she's been doing 3 events, and she's just doing an awesome job. And this floor routine, and we've talked about it, just between the tumbling, the landings, and just the overall presentation of floor, great to see Gianna having such an exciting and successful junior season. 9.925 for her on floor, which is awesome. And just to wrap up the Big Ten with our conference awards, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, as we mentioned, Skyla Schulte from Michigan State, well-deserved, awesome, you know, standout freshman. Coach of the Year, Mike Rowe, no surprise there. And then Gymnast of the Year, Sierra Brooks, no big surprise there either. You know, she is a standout athlete in the Big Ten, and as we've mentioned, Michigan's rock in terms of consistency and just what she puts out on the floor each and every competition. So let's move on. We're going to jump back to where we normally are, and we're going to talk about our Fab Five. But let's just start off with, I didn't see it and I'm upset, Bowling Green's athlete who does a side summy.
Dahlia from Bowling Green. She goes side summy, back tuck, full off the side. So, you know, one just like the other two, for like Amelia Knight and the girl from Penn State. But then she also does a front tuck onto the beam as her mount. So that beam routine is like jam-packed. So cool. I think it was on the broadcast, but I can't remember. But completely, I don't know a lot about Bowling Green just because we only have like a couple people that go there and only two that really compete. So I was kind of trying to pay attention, but just kind of came out of left field with her with those things. And then the other girl from Bowling Green who does a double back dismount, totally did not see that one coming either. I believe it's Catherine Wahlbacher. I believe that's who it is. Did not see that coming. She's number two on our list. Double back dismount surprised the hell right out of me.
I think it's great. Leave it to the MAC to have two major mounts, like flipping mounts onto the beam. Leave it to the MAC conference. The MAC conference to have a front on and a layout step out onto the beam.
Right.
So cool.
Yeah.
Number three, your girl Mara is back on our list again.
Yeah, because, you know, 995 on bars, amazing routine. At, you know, she's doing back to the hard wash. I'm just blown away by her. She won bars for her conference. She's incredible.
Kim's list, Michigan State and Mara from LIU. That's her list this year.
That's it. That's all it is.
Well, number four, the SEC cameramen all over the place. And that doesn't mean they're everywhere around the arena, as Kim will mention.
No, they just, especially in the second session, I noticed, they just would try to focus in on something and couldn't do it. Like, they just, it was just mat, bar, floor, toes, feet. Like, it's like they couldn't focus in on what they were trying to film or where the camera was trying to be. I don't know. It was weird. It's just weird. Very not SEC-like.
There was a lot weird that went on in that session two of SECs, for sure. Number five, Western Michigan, the only MAC team to qualify to regionals. We are going to get the total field for regionals today and Tuesday as we record, but they will be the only MAC team qualifies a team. Did you expect that coming out of the gate at the start of the season?
No, I didn't expect them to be the only team qualifying at the start of the season, but I mean, I expected them to qualify. They are in the 36th spot, however, but after how Max went for them, didn't really think they would hold on to that 36th spot. And we kind of, Joel and I kind of discussed it on the broadcast a little bit, but you know, it's kind of, that was like that's a double-edged sword for them right there. Cause they were number one going into MAC, didn't win, but they're the only team going to regional. So it's kind of a redemption for them. So hopefully they'll, you know, come back from their MAC performance and just enjoy regionals and do better there.
And we'll have more on the MAC championships and overall from the teams and Kim's perspective as one of the commentators on the telecast in a little bit. Of course, it's Fab Five, but it is conference championship week. So, of course, we have more than five, but we have 10. So let's move on to number six. And this, I don't know if you watched this, but this is crazy. Like at the end of the Big 12 competition, every single team got up onto the podium on their particular podium, and every single line dance you can think of, the chicken dance, every single one you can think of, electric slide, all the wedding type floor dance, line dances, they all did them all. And I thought that was just so cool, waiting for awards. They all got up there and they just started doing the line dances. Funny thing is, we're not going to talk much about the Big 12 because we only have one alum that competed, but Tom Forster was there. He was there. He gives a hug congratulating Jordan Bowers after the meet, and the camera catches that. So Tom Forster got caught the Big 12 championship. I mean, it was in Denver. Anyway, but I just thought that was cool that all the teams got up and they did the typical wedding line dance things all as a group. So that was cool. Number seven, I'm actually quite upset that the MAC didn't allow athletes to get out because the Big Ten did. And, you know, we didn't get to see, we had Scott Wilson, the assistant coach, got to get kicked in the stomach by Victoria Henry, where what Sandra does, Lasadik, how do you say her last name? Sandra usually gets kicked, and she does a much better job. Sorry, Scott, much better job than you did.
So, yeah, at MAC, they couldn't come out of the corrals. Like, maybe one person could, but they couldn't, like, be all around the floor area. But, like, one person was allowed out, like, in the corner or whatever, but on the side of the corral. So, Joel is from Ball State, so he knows all about Ball State. And he's telling me about, you know, her, that moment, you know, that the teammate interaction moment, let's call it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've kind of seen it. And he's like, well, what are they going to do? They're trapped in the corral. And so I'm like, I don't know, maybe a coach will do it or something. You know, I'm like, maybe red shoes. And, you know, he's like, Scott Wilson. Well, then I saw him, like, angling the mat up and getting that mat behind him, you know, ready for him to fall onto. And so I thought it was really cool, though, that instead of just nobody being there for that moment, that the coach did it, you know, in full nice outfitness. I thought that was really cool that the, you know, the coach stepped up and did it. And I was waiting for her. She was last to go. No one else, everybody, all eyes were on her. Nobody else in the arena was going. So I just thought that was super cool that he stepped up. He's like, yep, I'll fall to the floor. And yeah, the gymnast may do it better, but it was still really good, you know, with the nice clothes and the red shoes and the, you know, pulled his mat in for it. So I did think that was cool.
So number eight and nine, these athletes, we've actually already discussed about in our Big Ten discussion. However, I do know number eight, Aubrey Barber. We talked about her gymnastics and just how impressive it was. But Olivia says that the music on her floor routine was like a mashup of all of her floor routines in her career.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I only know that because I heard it from watching, you know, the meet today. But I just thought that was really cool and such a great idea to mash up your routine, your music from many years. And I know a lot of people who have done that. And I know people who've done that in club, but I just think I just thought it was really cool. And I just love when people do that, especially when the music kind of complements each other, or when you have a great music or a great routine that you just loved and you want to relive it for your senior year or whatever, or your fifth year. I just thought that was really cool. I really enjoyed that.
And then I know on here, Spence's eagle grip to her Jaeger. We talked about that when we were talking about the Big Ten with Olivia. So that was number nine on our list. You can talk and speak about number 10.
Let me tell you, TV does not do anyone justice ever. However, Whitney from MSU and then the Penn State floor coach, I don't know her name, but she was in the corner on floor. I'm assuming she's the floor coach. They both were killing it in the white, okay? Whitney, you looked incredible in the white pants. I would never wear white pants on TV. I would never wear a whole white outfit on TV. But Whitney and Penn State floor coach, banging, killing it. I just want to throw that out there, killing it in the white on the TV, killing it.
It's March, which means it's TumbleTrack's March Madness sale. Save 10% on tumbling mats, landing mats, and more. Have you had your eye on the new bright rainbow pizza mat? Is it time to replace some tired tumbling mats? Maybe you're ready for a pit pillow at every station. What could be better than 10% off on all your favorite mats during March Madness? Check out all that TumbleTrack has to offer. Head over to www.tumbletrack.com. That's TumbleTrack.com. Get your mats today.
You want to keep up with the Region 5 alums? We have two different ways. to be able to do that. And that would be our two social media channels, the R5 College Salute _ podcast on Instagram. This channel is where we post our podcast and keep you up to date throughout the week with pictures and videos and what have you that represent our Region 5 alums. Another way to follow along would be our YouTube channel, which is R5 College Salute Podcast. And this is where I post the videos for our Alumni Monday. Post every Monday during the NCAA season, sometimes Tuesday. And this week you can check out Alumni Monday for the championship weekend, where we focused on some of the championship performances that you did not get to see or might not have seen from conferences around the country. So check it out, R5 College Salute _ podcast on IG and R5 College Salute podcast on YouTube. You can also help support the podcast by becoming an insider podcast patron for as little as $1 per month. Your support will help us with all the behind-the-scenes work that is done to produce our podcast and our media content. If you want to help us out for 1 month or be a yearly patron, click on the link on your podcast page, on our website, in the show notes, or go to www.patreon.com/Region5GymInsider and select the support tier that fits your budget. Help us to continue to grow and provide more gymnastics content for everyone to enjoy. Well, speaking of enjoyment, I really enjoyed the MAC championship coverage this year, maybe because Kim Dawis was a commentator on the MAC conference. But before we start, we have got to address the Region 5 insider. Apparently, Kim is the Region 5 insider. We're all Region 5 insiders here. Kim is not the Region 5 insider. Just wanted to point that out. I thought that was hysterical.
You can't just give me one.
Thank you for mentioning the Region 5 Insider, and thank you, Kim, for your great work at the MAC Championships, because you know me, I could never do that. So this is your first conference championship, only your third ever in the commentating chair. You give your perspective on kind of what MAC Championships was like from a different perspective this year for you.
MAC Championships was slightly stressful. There was so much going on. There's not two sessions that you do one session and then you can take a break and re-examine your notes. Nope. One session, seven teams. It was incredible. This was an incredible meet. And let me tell you, it helps that 90% of the athletes are from Region 5. So I know 90% of them, which really helps when you have to pay attention to four events, computer screens, and what Joel's saying and adding and mathing, because he did all the math, because I don't do math. It was literally a four-ring circus with some buys, and oh my God, it was incredible. Out of, I think there was like 168 gymnasts or something, and I only messed up two people. I was very proud of myself. I didn't really mess them up. I just confused them because they kind of look alike. Sarah Moravansky and Amanda Gruber, y'all look alike, okay?
When Amanda was going, I was watching another screen because I can't remember who else was up. And then when she went, I'm like, that's not Amanda, but maybe it was. I didn't. And then they showed Amanda start mount on beam, and they go, and he goes, and now Peyton Murphy. And I'm like, this is not right. Peyton Murphy. And I know you, like, you in your brain with like the wheels were turning going, I don't know how to address this, because you're probably like, oops, that's Amanda Gerber. And I've already said she went up, and I know this isn't Peyton Murphy. So how do I address this? And you're like, nope, this is not Peyton. And then you realize it was Amanda. Yeah. I was like, how are you going to handle this?
Well, so I have no filter when it comes to correcting people. And that was like, that was actually something I wanted to ask Olivia, because they kept saying Skylar Schulte, and that drove me nuts. I'm like, and I wanted to know what she does. Like, how do you fight the urge to correct the names? Because clearly you didn't, but you said Skyla later. So my thing is, I'm like, I won't. That was my mistake, because I was just going down, kind of going down the list, and it was Sarah first, then Amanda. On the beam from that far away, because we were over, like, across the floor but above the vault, and the beam's way over, those two look alike. I did know better when it was Amanda because of the jumps also. He started saying Peyton, and I was like, stop talking because that's not right. And I said, well, that's Amanda Gruber. And I'm like, oh, wait. So the one before, that was Sarah Moravansky. So I corrected myself. I even had to go and learn how to say from Central, Alicia Kolivanova. I went down, I had to go down because Joel was like, how do you say this name? I'm like, I don't know. I'll go ask Don. So I go downstairs and I sit and ask Don and the other coach that's sitting there, like the student coach. And they're like, well, she's Russian. And this is how you kind of say it, we think. But she goes by Koli. So I'm like, okay, I got this. Kolianova. I said it like that on the broadcast too. Because I had to. But yeah, I just cannot do. I'm like, if I do not say a name right, I'm sure Jason's going to be all up my crap.
Yeah, but I can't say a name right. You know, look, I know how to say Amade now.
Hey, but, Joel said Amade better than
me. Yes. Hey, I got it now. I know how to say it now. But no, I just love how you said you had to bring the binoculars. You forgot your binoculars when you had for bounce beam.
Yeah, because Joel had made mention about before we even started, he's like, God, we should have binoculars. And that's when I was like, yeah, you should have brought the binoculars because then maybe I wouldn't confuse those two that look alike.
But of all of the conference championships, I think this one was the most exciting because it came down to the very end. I do want to start at the beginning, and we have two vault champions in the MAC conference that are both Region 5 alums, Katie Kowalski and Hallie Faulkner. Beautiful Yurchenko foals. No questions asked. They've been very good all season, 9.875. My objection to this, however, is Suki Pfister. Because Katie and Hallie both had minuscule hops. Neither of them stuck the vault. Neither did Suki. Suki also had a small hop back. But she starts at a 10, and they start at 9.95. They went 9.875. She went 9.85, and I'm not up for it. Suki should have been the MAC champion on vault. No offense to Katie and Hallie. Beautiful vaulters. Awesome job. Congratulations on your MAC championship. But I think Suki should have at least been part of that group, if not the vault champion for the MAC conference.
So, I was all with Suki winning vault because she should have. She should have. And when she vaulted and she had that hop back, I'm like, okay, it's going to be like a 9.9. I mean, it's going to be something. Like, there was nothing in this part of the vault. The landing only thing. And I didn't look at the score right away because it was like down underneath us kind of. And so I didn't see that one right away and there was a monitor in my way. But when I found out she went 9.85, I was like, what? No, what? Are you sure? Can we inquire? Can I call the head judge? I have questions. Because yeah, that vault was definitely not a 9.85. Hallie Faulkner, she did have the best landing. She didn't hop up and down like Katie did, but she had the best landing out of the three. But also, Ball State went to vault first.
First, yep.
First. So I don't think that really helped the situation. Maybe if they would have went later in the seven rotations. Even going first on vault, that was not a 9.85 vault.
No, that was a much better vault. And a 9.875, I would have been fine with these three. Because Katie obviously was last on vault. They were last. CMU went last. And I believe she's the anchor on vault, if I'm not mistaken, for CMU. And Hallie Faulkner was on vault the rotation before because Western went to vault third. For them, third. So, you know, it was like out of sight, out of mind. Suki does this beautiful handspring front pike half. And then, oh, yeah. We now are on vault in the third rotation. We'll give a 9.875. And I was not for it. When I saw that, I was like, I texted you. I said, Suki should have won vault, at least tied them because they did beautiful vaults, but Suki starts at a 10 and her vault is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It should be the vault champion. We can just stay on champions while we're here. And Bars, they got it right. They got
it
right.
It's so funny because I knew Natalie Hamp, you hit your bar routine, you're repeating as MAC champion, and she hit her bar routine. However, Ella Chamati, okay, bar routine is gorgeous, amazing, like, well-deserved. I had her pegged for winning beam, and then she, like, threw a curveball and won bars. So I thought that was really cool because, I mean, her bar routine is beautiful. But after, like, after her pack down to the low bar and she kind of looked like she got stuck, I didn't think she was going 9.9 on that, but I'm very excited that she won, and well-deserved. She does have a beautiful, beautiful bar routine, so I was excited to see that.
Natalie Hamp's routine was absolutely gorgeous, and I know that, you know, Joel raved about it, and it sounded like he took some stuff from our podcast of what we've mentioned before in that situation. But we talk about Natalie almost every week. Her bar routine, she's always on the 9-9 notebook. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous routine. Beautiful blindfold double layout. I'm glad she was able, because they, if I'm not mistaken, they went early. They went second on bars, right? That was their second event. Because didn't Northern end on floor? Yeah, so yeah. They went second on bars in their rotations. And so that held up, and 9-9 held up, but she is the best bar worker in the MAC. I mean, she really is the best bar worker in the MAC. Ella Chimani does well on bars because of her form and her execution, and her lines are just gorgeous. You can't take anything off when it comes to that. But the gymnastics, the Tkachev for Natalie, the blindfold double layout, everything's big in Hamp's bar routine.
He definitely took my MACtion. I was like, are you ready for the MACtion? And then all of a sudden he said it. I was like,
you know, we mentioned, you know, the MAC conference being the Region 5 conference. You know, we know it well. There are so many MAC, you know, Region 5 athletes in the MAC. Hence, look at the award winners here. Moving down to balance beam, and this was the very first routine, not the very first routine of the meet, but the very first team that competed balance beam. And she won. 9925 for Peyton Murphy. And actually, this isn't even her best routine because she didn't connect her split jump, and she had a small minor little shoulder drop on her little split ring thing. So it's not her best routine, but it was the best of the day.
Her routine was amazing. And we kept saying, you know, kept talking about, is this score going to hold? And I'm like, yeah, it is.
She also moves over to the next event and wins that one too. 9.95 on floor. She did tie Tara Kaufmel from NIU on floor. Peyton's routine was very solid. Every landing just right on top. Like, not one of those, like, save it with a lunge. You did mention your Al Sharns. You got your Al Sharns in there.
I think, of course,
he,
I did.
I thought that was funny. Just great to see Peyton, you know, two events, her two best events. These by far are her two best events. I've been amazed and impressed with her bars this year overall, but beam and floor have always been strong for Peyton. And I'm glad to see her get the recognition in the MAC conference, because sometimes I feel like, even though she's on videos in every single meet, she isn't always addressed, you know, in talk a lot.
Well, I had sent my email with like ones to watch. And Peyton was in that email for one to watch for all around. And even when the graphics were sent, you know, to me to see like what was happening, and when they pulled it up, I kept saying, I emailed back. I'm like, okay, that looks great. Please make sure to add Peyton Murphy for ones to watch. She's second in the all around. When we were kind of running through at the beginning, I was like, can we add Peyton Murphy to ones to watch for the all around? Because she's second going into the MAC. And it was never added. She should have been in the mix of the conversation with, you know, the one to watch for the all around, because honestly, she could, until the very end, she could have won or tied at least for all around.
Oh yeah. She was in the all around race, even with the vault that she had. And we'll get to what happened to Peyton and a little bit more discussion on Western Michigan's bars, 'cause I have thoughts. In a minute, but let's just wrap this up with the champions and the all around champion, Hannah Demers.
Joel had asked me about like what event stands out or whatever. And I'm just like, she's good everywhere. Like, she's good everywhere. And, you know, we talked about her facial expressions and how excited she gets, and, you know, dusting the rafters in the Tkachev. And her coach had said, like, she doesn't even realize she's that high. And after she landed her vault, like, I knew she had won, and like, she's running back and emotional. I was in the Central Michigan parent section, and oh my God, are they incredibly loud. There was a moment that I couldn't even hear anything in my own headphones, and I stopped talking for a minute because they were just screaming. But it was so fun to like be in that section, especially because I went to Central, and it was just so much fun. So her winning was no surprise to me at all. She has been ranked number one last year. This year, like, I'm so glad she won.
But then four from Region 5 in the top four. Well, top four, but top three. They don't break ties in the MAC conference. So you must love that. We love that here.
As it should be. As it should be.
Rachel Dukavich and Brooklyn Sears. Rachel Dukavich from Kent and Brooklyn Sears from NIU, both tying for second in the all-around with 39.175. Hannah had a 39.225. And then Danny Petroski, 39.15 in the all-around. Finishes third, technically fourth. But
nope, she finished third. It was totally third. If you have the same all-around score, they're both in second. They were second. She was third. That's how it works. That's how it should work. breaking ties, no, sir.
Got it. And three teams were in the hunt for this title. Western Michigan, who led the entire day up until their last event. Central, who was kind of like, they were there in second, but they were having a struggle here and there on different different events. And then NIU, who put it on, you know, gangbusters on floor at the end. Granted, they had a decent consistent meet, but they were always third or fourth throughout the day. And then they put gangbusters on.
Until Tara Kaufmel hit that.
Right. 995 on floor. Let's just talk a little bit really quick about Western and kind of what happened. So Western goes to vault, leading after two rotations, and they had lights out floor and balance beam. And they go to vault, and they start off pretty well, and then Cassie does her Kaz half and kind of stumbles off to the side. Not a big stumble, like she went off the mat, but it was kind of sideways, where she's been doing decent landings, you know, on the vaults, but just was not quite all the way around and stepped off to the side. Then Peyton goes up at the end of vault lineup, and Peyton, apparently, we don't get to see this, and I only learned this from her sister and her family were at the meet. I learned this after that because we didn't see this part, but she was having issues at the beginning with her steps for some reason. And I guess she repeated her run three times. One, she stepped forward, stepped back, stepped forward again, stepped back. And then she's like, I have to go. And she went, she was off on the round off. She actually landed on the yellow, which you didn't tell from the view that we had watching the telecast. She did a nice back handspring and she started to go up. And then I'm like looking at myself and going, this vault is not flipping very fast. And she landed way short and took a big step hop forward, saluted, and then started limping off of the vault running, put her hand on the vault actually and stopped. And I'm like, oh crap, you know, what happened? They show her that you continue on your telecast. They have a screen, but they have a box at the top. It's her with a trainer. And I'm like, leave it to Peyton to get more video coverage of that. You know, she's been on Alabama. She's been, you know, she gets this little box of her with a trainer.
When she vaulted, where I was, so I don't really know what you were seeing on the TV. I was more watching, because I tend to watch not the monitors so much, but like, because vault was right there. And that's like one of my big problems is watching the meet and not the monitors. But I could see exactly like how far her foot was off that board. And it was like half of her foot was off the board. And that moment I was like, oh crap. And then she goes up, she twists, she lands super short, grabbing the back of her leg. I was like,
yeah, especially this year.
But then she started walking. She walked. I'm like, okay, it's not an Achilles because she's walking. And Joel's pointing to the top of the screen on the monitor because I'm starting to talk about whoever was on the main part of the screen, and he's pointing to the top that, okay, we're talking about this now because she's still with this trainer. So she goes back because they went on a bye after that. And so they go back, she goes to the trainer, all that stuff. And him and I are kind of chatting like, okay, is she going to do bars? What's going to happen? As soon as I saw Western walk back out, like I am out of my seat, leaning over the table, over the monitor, over the edge to see if Peyton has her grips on. And she does. I'm like, okay, Peyton has her grips on. She's okay. It can't be that bad. She's going to do bars.
Apparently she never did warmed up her dismount in warmups. They never had her do a dismount. She had no idea how it was going to feel, where I play devil's advocate on both sides of the fence, because could they have said, Peyton, guess what? You know, you haven't done, you know, this is a new routine, whatever, do blindfold giant toe front half. Make that what she does. And I know you talked to her, and I know she did mention that she was in the moment and she did it, which is typical Peyton. Peyton's going to do whatever she knows that she's going to do the best for the team. But I think that wasn't the best for the team from the situation of where she was at and kind of what happened the week before. And just from the standpoint of, you don't know what your landing is. You can do a toe front half, but connecting the blindfold and just all of that, I think it would have been a smart idea to do blindfold giant toe front half, me personally, as a coach. But again, they're going to go what's best, because she got a 9.9 2 weeks ago on bars or whatever it was. It was 2 weeks ago on this routine, connecting it. My second half of this would be, I felt they should have put Peyton last. And the reason why I feel they should have put Peyton last is because they weren't 100% sure on kind of what would go on with her foot. Sarah has never missed her dismount ever. I don't think I've ever seen Sarah miss a double layout on bars, ever. She fell short and put her hands down after Peyton messed up. And I'm like, you know, could they have put her last and then used her if they needed to? She only needed a 9-8. She would have tied Hannah with a 9-8. So anything above a 9-8, she would have been the MAC all-around champion. That would have been great for Peyton. Peyton, I know, put a lot of pressure on herself, and she said that, you know, I feel ownership of this. It's not her fault. It's not just her fault. There are other issues. There are steps on landings. They only lost by less than 0.2, wasn't it? It was very close. You know, there's a lot to it. So again, I'm on the fence with both. I understand in the moment, but I think someone should have just said, hey, take the pressure off Peyton, do a blindfold giant toe front half.
The last couple of meets, I've seen Peyton. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to her because she's, you know, they've been, got to get to the bus, got to do this. And so I went and talked to her, and I'm like, don't you usually do, you know, just an extra giant swing? She goes, yeah, when I feel off, like, I will do the extra giant swing. And she had said, you know, she probably should have. She goes, I was just in the moment and, you know, of the routine and thought I could. I was just in the moment. And as you said, that's very Peyton, just being in the moment and, you know, she probably could have made it. She just missed the foot. I don't know what foot she steps down with first. So maybe that one maybe that has something to do with it. Like, was that the foot that she steps down with first that she just couldn't get it on there good because it hurt? She landed that dismount, though, as safely as she could. Thank God Al was standing, like, under the bar to catch her because that could have been bad if he wasn't. Yeah, it was the craziest. That was probably the craziest part of the meet because it literally came down to, like, those bar routines. And you're right, they probably could have put her last just because it's 5 count. And maybe if she would have gone last, like everybody else, you know, Sarah wouldn't have had her issues. But we don't know how that would have really played out in the end.
Right. I would just say, like I told her this week, I just said that, you know, you can't what if, what if, what if. We are what ifing, but that's our job on a podcaster is anything we can what if. You can't what if because it's just never, it doesn't help anybody. It's not going to change, so you can't what if it. But I'm just saying from a perspective of a coach or the coaching staff or looking at where how close they were, you know, you weren't sure. It was undetermined how bad her foot was. Was it going to be able to land? And you didn't have her warm up a dismount, which I can understand because let's say it hurt, then she's out. You know that. But then you would know that, you know, in that standpoint. But just to allow her to go last maybe and go for it if she wanted to or pull her if you had to just to save her because as of right now, her regional competition is iffy.
In that moment, she could have been like, no, I can do it. You know, Sarah Moravansky did the same thing mm-hmm. at a meet that, you know, we talked to Penny about before with ankles and vaulting and said she could do it. And, you know, she came out really well in that a couple meets ago. But you just never know. And, you know, after the meet was over, I had talked to Hannah about, you know, winning all around and doing, you know, how she did and stuff. She had mentioned Peyton and just how bummed she was that, you know, she fell off bars and that she didn't win or tie or whatever. And she's just like, Peyton is so good. And this is Hannah Demirs from Central. She's like, Peyton is just so good. And she makes me want to be better. She pushes me to be better. And I just thought that was just such a sweet thing for her to say. And they obviously know each other from, you know, Region 5 and JO and all that. But just for her to, just for Hannah, just to say the sweet things she did about Peyton was just so like heartwarming. I was like, oh, don't make me cry because, you know, it was just so sweet how Hannah just kept, you know, we were trying to talk about Hannah winning and she was more talking about, you know, Peyton and Peyton's gymnastics and how good she is and her personality and just, it was incredible. So both super amazing young ladies and it was just great.
They may be like the stars of their program or the ones that everyone talks about. And like Hannah, you think that she's very serious at times, you know, when you see her before me and then just like she just lets it, you know, all loose at the end after the performances, crazy celebrations and what have you. But they are just good people. They have great hearts. And the thing is with Peyton, she was going to go for it. I know her mentality. Unless you told her, don't go for it. She's going to do it. She's going to try. That's Peyton. And I have to acknowledge that and, you know, praise that. I mean, that's just the way she is. She's going to go for it and take that attitude with it. But Western Michigan would have won because they had four 9-8-2-5 plus routines on bars heading into one routine. You know, Central had some 9-7, 7-5s, and 9-7-5 vaults. So it was theirs to win. 24 routines are on the competition floor. Unless you had 23 tens and your score was the reason they messed up, there's always something and somebody could have done better. A landing, a, you know, what have you, a form break, a handstand. There's always stuff that could have been the separation and was only two tens. You know, so it wasn't that big a deal. But it was just exciting to see. And then Northern's floor performance, which they're very good on floor. And then, of course, Tara going 9.95 to tie Peyton on floor to jump Northern for the second consecutive year into second place in the MAC conference. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun to see for sure.
You should have been there. It was insane, especially, you know, and especially that last rotation. But there was another rotation that Joel had mentioned it. We had talked about like every team that was on the floor at that moment, they were on their events that weren't their strongest, but oh my God, they hit those events out of the park. So that rotation also was incredible. And I wish I could really remember which one it was, but I just remember he mentioned that, oh, these are not their strong, they're not their strong events that every team in the arena is on right now, but oh my God, they did incredible. So not for those events, not being their strong ones, that rotation, whatever it was, just absolutely incredible. It was huge.
Well, a couple more standout routines. Megan Teeter, 9.9 on floor. Beautiful floor routine. She did not do a Rudy. God. She did a front layout front full. Nice routine, 9.9.
Oh, yeah. Well, I talked about that she usually does a Rudy, but she did the front full. It was so funny. So before the broadcast, we were talking about Megan Teeter. And Joel is just like, she is like pound for pound, like probably the strongest one here. I'm like, absolutely she is. And she, I'm not a fan of the white leotards, and we all know that, but she can wear the white leotard because it looks amazing on her, by the way. But she is just so powerful and just so fun to watch, especially on floor. Like her floor was incredible. Incredible, even without doing the Rudy. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah.
And her bars was a little bit underscored. I mean, I didn't expect her to win the bar title, but I think she only got like a 9.8, I think. I almost stuck her double front. I think she took a small little scoot, if I'm not mistaken. But
you know, the Ball State did get their highest team score, like, in their program history right now, this year. No,
total team score? Good for them.
Yeah.
One more 9.9 standout, Carly Franz from Kent State on floor. Another awesome floor routine for a 9.9. And Kent State did well on floor as a whole, like usual. They had their best event at the championship meet was floor, like it has been, you know, each and almost every meet this year, I think.
It's just a super bummer on floor that Alyssa Guns did not have her greatest floor showing. She kind of messed up on that. Her first pass, she just did a front tuck instead of front layout. And I had talked to Shannon when I went back to, because I went from Hunts Meet to Max and back to the Hunts Meet. And so I talked about it with Shannon the next day. And Shannon had mentioned to me, she had talked to Alyssa. And Alyssa was just like, I don't know. I just felt weird. Like the whole day I felt off. And she started running with the wrong foot into that tumbling pass. And she's like, I got to keep going. So that's, you know, she ended up doing a front tuck instead of her, you know, her front layout. But yeah, so she was a little upset about that. But other than that, yeah, Kent State is amazing on floor. Just in general, their routines are just so good.
Some of the championship awards that are handed out every year in the MAC Conference Freshman of the Year would be Ella Chimani from Eastern Michigan. Well-deserved there. Awesome freshman year. Did a lot for Eastern's program and in 2022. Gymnast of the Year. Not big surprise, Hannah Demers from Central Michigan. I'm not sure if they give the all-around champion, the all-around leader, or the best all-around person at the meet the gymnast of the year. I don't know how they work that in the MAC, but I think Hannah wraps up all of that. So, and then coach of the year, Christina McDonald from Central Michigan. And I believe it is the coach who wins the MAC championship does get the coach of the year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that's true, but I think it is in the MAC. So that's the MAC in a nutshell, the Region 5 conference. Awesome job. And many of our Region 5 alums will be headed to regionals. We'll find out who those particular athletes are coming up soon. But as we've mentioned, Western will be the only team in the MAC moving on to regionals as a team, and they get to do the play-in again this year. Let's quickly just run through some champions in some of the other conferences. We do mention, obviously, Michigan did win the Big Ten. We mentioned that with a 198-2. Florida won the SEC with a 198-2. They had a great meet. Some of the other teams did not, one being LSU. LSU had a very rough go-ahead, and I don't know if you saw our friend Haley Bryant's vault, but if you've seen that YouTube video where the springboard, you launch on the springboard and it just catapults the person over the vault, that fake video, that looked like Haley Bryant on vault. I didn't know if it was an injury or just some issue. It wasn't an injury, but she did a handspring front flyover tuck to her butt. Not anywhere near what Haley Bryant does. So no SEC championship for Haley Bryant on vault this year. But Florida looked really good overall on all four events to win the championship. I do have to mention one thing real quick with Missouri. I don't know if you caught or watched the meet, but I saw it in the bottom screen. One of the Missouri athletes, I think she's up first. I didn't notice this year, but she does a Rudy punch layout punch front as her first pass. I thought that was really cool. So Rudy punch layout, not a layout step out, layout to 2 feet, punch front immediately out of it. And I thought that was really cool. So wanted to mention that. I forgot, I didn't catch her name, but I do know it was the first athlete from Missouri. So if you're the Missouri's leadoff, we're talking about you. Utah won the Pac-12. They looked awesome, phenomenal in theirs. They went 198 even in that meet. So, you know, awesome job to Utah. Andy Lee, 9.9, 2.5 on bars and a 9.9 on floor. No double full punch front on floor again. Still sticking with the double front, double full. We'll see if that changes for regionals, but two nice 9.9 scores for her. Gabby Perea competed on two events. She had to compete on floor because there was an issue with one of the Cal gymnasts on floor. So she competed on floor, but she also competed on bars with a very nice routine. So Gabby in the lineup on two events this week. Big 12s, Oklahoma 198-2. That was the score that needed to win the conference championship, apparently, many. But we had a Big 12 champion in Maddie Dieb on floor. Very, very nice routine. Beautiful front double full front layout. She is so consistent with her tumbling. It's amazing how consistent she is. Rundown real fast. EAGL champions Temple, 196.025. The GEC champions Penn, 196.65. MRGC champions Utah State, 197.025. MPSF champions San Jose State, 196.425. And the MIC champions Texas Women's University, 195.75. Some outstanding scores in the SEC, Shania Adams and Makari, both 9.95 on bars. Both have very nice routines. Leah Clapper on beam smiled through the entire routine, and another 9.9 on beam, if you didn't catch that one. And Aria Bruce's bar routine, as normal, 9.95. Very nice swing. Beautiful routine at SECs. And in the EAGL, we had Stephanie Makasu, 9.9 on bars. A beautiful ray, nice blindfold double tuck. Stuck landing and very excited after that routine. If I'm not mistaken, this is Stephanie's second or third with a 9.9. So, Kim, who are our Toe Point President nominees for conference weekend?
Hannah Demirs, Ella Chamati, Gianna Gerdes, Rachel Borden, Olivia O'Donnell, Caitlin Higgins, Andy Lee, of course, and then Natalie Wojcik and Lexi Ramler, just because they have exquisite toe point. Tori Loomis. She has beautiful toe point as well.
You did mention Rachel Borden, and it was exciting to see. We got to see both of her routines on the Big Ten Calcast in session one. That was fun to see. And she did a beautiful beam routine. Actually got her front aerial front handspring to that staggy jump thing, connected all in succession.
That
was fun.
Staggy jump thing.
Well, it's time for the Built Bar Best 5 of the Week, and Built Bar's Built Boost is an all-natural, all-good with 100% of your daily vitamins. During these times, boosting your immune system is critical, and Built Boost can provide that defense. And they taste really good. As I mentioned, each and every day, I have a Love the Lime Built Boost. So good. Go to Built.com and get 10% off your order every time with code R5INSIDER. So Built Bar Best 5 of the Week. Kim, best handstand this week?
Okay, well, as always, I can't have just one person. So this week is, for me, Ella Chamati and Gabby Stevens.
Best performance of the week?
Well, for me, of course, this is CMU literally vaulting to MAC champions and their parent section.
Our best sticks, both out of the Big Ten championships.
Colby Miller with her I'm a badass stick. And Gabby Wilson with her double back stick.
Best post routine celebration. You didn't put in Olivia Karras in this because I think she had the best post. I think Olivia gets this for this.
Karras after Gabby routine and
everyone else. But if you were a gymnast, who had the best post-routine celebration this week?
Marissa Rojas, after her bar routine, she stuck her landing. She had a great salute, but her celebration was just fantastic, and she doesn't do any giants in her bar routine. I'm sure we made mention of that before, but I forgot, but she doesn't do them. And then Hannah Demirs, just because Hannah Demirs things, and she always celebrates to the moon, but especially after vault at Max. And then Adeline Kenlin, is that her name? Adeline Kenlin from Iowa. So she landed her beam dismount, and she literally looked like she should have been spitting fire out of her mouth.
And then, of course, the best college salute.
Raina Malice, after her vault, that she had a great college salute. It was very good. And then Adriana Bustillo, just, you know, because she puts her head on her butt, and she always has. But my forever college salute, I know I give it to her a lot, but it's conference, is Andy Lee. She will forever be the college salute for me. Oh, I rhymed.
You always rhyme some point in time. I just did too.
Oh, we're
so rhyming today on the podcast. So that wraps up the Built Bar Best 5 of the Week for Championship Week. And flipping forward, we obviously have regional craziness. Look forward to our regional podcast to see who our Region 5 alums move on to regionals and how they do there. And then, of course, we'll have the national championship podcast as well. So stick to us, the Region 5 College Salute. We have still more to go with this 2022 season.
Help more people find our podcast by rating and reviewing us on Apple and Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to the Region 5 Insider Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to email us at region5insider@gmail.com. Thanks again to all of our Patreon sponsors, followers, and subscribers. We could not do all of this without your support. Follow us on all of our social media accounts, especially our new R5 College Salute _ podcast page on IG, for all the up-to-date information on what's going on in Region 5.
Thanks again for joining us for the salute to the Region 5 alums in Championship Weekend. We will talk to you in about 2 weeks for the regional recap and continue our spine-breaking coverage of our Region 5 alums. Talk soon, and remember, we are Region 5.